Let's hold them up together. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind, it's alert. And my heart, it's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best shout. Oh, praise the Lord. Give God your best shout. Hallelujah. Open your Bible to the New Testament. And if you're unfamiliar with the Bible, just follow on the screens today because we want you to be connected, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're in a series entitled Your Ministry Matters. I cued Pastor Kim right here in this third service. I said, dear, hey, what's the title of my series today? Aren't I a stinker when I ask my own wife what's the title of the series? She goes, different. I said, no, different is Wednesday night. You just forgot. I said, no, what is it? What is it, dear? What's the title of the series for the month that I'm teaching on? I know we had a guest speaker last weekend, but what is it? And she goes, I know what it is. She whispered, she goes, your ministry matters. Guess what? She's going to get a big kiss, big steak after church today. Amen. Right answer. Hallelujah. Say it with me. My ministry matters. You see, you have a ministry, and your ministry, yours, matters to Church on the Rock. God wouldn't have sent you here if Church on the Rock didn't need you. God wouldn't have assigned you. God would not have led you. God would not have sent you if your ministry doesn't matter here. And so what I want to do is I want to help you find your ministry. I want to help you find out what it is that God put you on this earth to do. The world can give us stuff, but God can give us satisfaction. You and I are not going to be like Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction, 1966. No, we're looking to God. We want to know why God made us the way he made us, why God put us here right now. And folks, I know in the natural, it looks like everything is going crazy, but God put you here for such a time as this. So God has you here on purpose to make a purpose with your ministry. So I want to help you discover your ministry. In fact, that's our first point. Number one, I want to help you discover it. Now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. You ready to get into the Word today? Okay, here we go. For it is God who delivered us, and he saved us, and he called us with a calling that's holy. It leads to a life of consecration, not because of anything that we did, but because of to further his purpose. So everybody say, saved, called for God's purpose. Boy, that's balance right there, isn't it? We all have two calls on our life. All of us have been called to be saved. I do not believe in the predestination mindset that where some believe that some are to be saved and some are not. I don't believe in that when they take it a little bit too far. I believe in predestination, but not that far. I believe that God doesn't want anybody to perish. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God doesn't want anybody to perish. God wants everybody to be saved. Can we all agree on that today? So we have two callings, the call to be saved, the call to be Christians, Christ followers. the call to be disciples of Christ, the call to be followers of Christ or Christians. And did you know what the word Christian actually means? Christ ones. Christ ones. If you go a little further in the Greek, it means little Christ. Little Christ. So we as Christians have been called to be little Christ on the earth. In other words, we have been called to be a little model of the real one. Does that make sense today? You see, right now, what's going on in our city, and folks, we're going to have revival in our city. I'm not going to give up on our city. I've been here 34 years. I'm not going to give up on our city. This great church, this church, you, the community, you've heard me say it for years. Mekon Carter comes in here last week, says the same thing, that you are a preview of coming attractions in our city and what heaven's going to be like. Amen. So, you know, we've all been called to be saved or to be Christians or to be little Christ or to be little models of Christ. You know, when I was growing up, I was in grade school. I put model cars together. Anybody ever do that? You know, growing up, maybe you did airplanes or whatever, boats. I put model cars together. And me and my buddies, every Friday night when I was in grade school, we'd get together and we'd go buy a model car set at the local Five and Dime, Ben Franklin. And, you know, we'd go get a model car and we'd take it home to whoever we were staying with at night. And we would put that model car together and we'd spend Friday night, Saturday morning doing that. And then we would enter them in contest, model car contest. And you could win, you know, prizes and trophies. And I had a 63 Corvette split window model car that I put together one time. And, you know, I put that little model together, even though it wasn't a real 63 split window Corvette. It was a little version. It was a little model of the real car. And so it's just like that. You and I are not Christ, but we're to be Christians, little Christ, little models of what Christ should look like to the world and our culture. So we've all been called to do that. But then there's a second calling. The first one is to be saved. The second one is to serve. The second one is to serve. We've all been called to be saved, and we've all been called to serve. And the latest poll in Pew Research says 87% of Christians who go to church on a Sunday morning in America don't know where they're to serve. They don't know their place of service. So I want to help you with that. Is that okay? Everyone say, saved, serve, God's purpose. Okay? So number one, you have to discover it. Discover it. You and I will be held responsible if we did that or not. We're all going to stand before God, and God's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Now, when we were born in the natural, we all got natural talents and abilities and skill sets. We did. And then when we got born again, the Holy Spirit in Romans 12 put spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities in all of us. Now, we don't decide it. The Bible says in Romans 12, it's as the Spirit wills, the Holy Spirit. So we don't decide it. What do? We discover it. We discover our place so we can run our race and have God's grace. We discover it. Pastor, I don't know. I've heard that. Now, right now, over to my right, your left, is our growth track class. I went by there. It's packed. Standing room only. And in our growth track class, we show you how to find your spiritual gift. We don't want to leave you out there and tell you you should do something and not show you the how-to. So I encourage you to sign up for our growth track class. It's right over here where we show you every Sunday morning how to discover your place, to run your race, and have God's grace on your life. Amen. And a happy face. I just put that in there. Praise the Lord. All right. So it's important then that you discover it. Pastor, how do you discover it? Let me show you how you discover it. Ask yourself, what are you good at? What comes natural? What flows? What's a natural inclination? What just flows? What are you good at? Secondly, what do you enjoy? Now, you can't leave one out here. It's what you're good at and what you enjoy. Because you see, I love guitars. I collect guitars. I have for years and years and years. And I know just enough chords to sing unto the Lord, you know, with a merry heart. Okay? And in my private time, my devotional. But even though I enjoy it, I'm not good at it. I'm not good enough to lead you. I want you to stay, not run, during praise and worship. So I enjoy it, but I'm not good at it. You discover your call, your service, your place, your gifts, where God wants you serving. You discover it by, what am I good at? What do I enjoy? And then, what am I fruitful with? Where do I get results? Where do I get results? What am I fruitful in? And then, beyond that, what flows easy? What just comes easy? And beyond that, I'm showing you how to discover it. Everyone say, discover it. Is what do other people point out that is your strengths? What do other people, when they think about you, what do they say? Now, please, it's just for the sake of a story and an illustration. Please, many of you who know me, you know my heart, okay? But we were just in Las Vegas, and we took part of our team out there for a church conference, and to go out there to get better at what we do, bring it back here, and serve you better. Because we are proud of you, and we love you, and we believe in you, and your ministry matters, okay? So we're out there, and you know, I could give you names of pastors of mega churches. I could give you names of people that you would recognize. But we had some friends out there, and they would take me up and introduce me to new pastors I'd never met. And here's what they would say when they introduced me. This one man, he took me around to several new leaders and pastors and said, this is, you know, Pastor David Blunt, St. Louis Church on the Rock. And this is, you know, so-and-so, so-and-so. And then they would say, you need to listen to him, pointing to me, because he teaches the word so simple. He teaches the word so practical. Now, you know my heart. I'm pointing to Christ, and he teaches the word where you have takeaways, and anybody could do it. Well, so what was my friend who lives in California telling these other ministers? He was talking about my gift, my ministry, what he saw in me that was dominant. Well, the same way in your life, you have a gift. You have a ministry. You can make a difference. It's from God. You discover it by what you are good at, what do you enjoy, what flows easy, where do you get fruit, what do others see in you, and they remark about you. Can you give God a big hand clap? Come on, celebrate your gift. Amen. So look with me in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. God has given some of us, a few of us, each of us. God has given each of us. Aren't you glad that God's no respecter of persons? You know, I look out here at Church on the Rock today, and you know what I see? Color. Isn't that awesome? I see a rainbow. I see age groups, different, you know, economics. Isn't that wonderful? That's a community I want to be a part of. Amen? So God has given each one of us some special abilities. Be sure to set on them. No, be sure to what? Use them. So number one, you discover it. Number two, you accept it. Accept who you are. Celebrate who you are. Don't trip over trying to be somebody else and miss out on who God made you to be. Stop comparing your husband with others, your wife with others, your parents with other parents, your church with other churches, your family with other families. Celebrate who you are in your own skin. So you discover it, and then once you discover it, you accept it. And then after you accept it, then what do? You use it, right? Because what you don't use, you lose. You know, if you don't exercise, what happens? Your muscles shrink up, right? Your joints get stiff. You know, many of you know, I'm a car guy and a motorcycle guy. Have been since I was 14 years old. Got my first motorcycle when I was 14, couldn't drive it, but got it and let it sit, and I waxed it and cleaned it and couldn't wait till I got my license for it. You know, so I've always been a car guy, and I have, God's blessed me, I've had it for a long time, everybody say long time, 15 years at least. I have a 1963 Corvette, split window, fuel injected, Bloomington gold. I'm a purist. It's numbers matching. It's a beautiful car. God gave me that car over 15 years ago. But guess what? If I don't start it and at least drive it to McDonald's once a month to get a Mac attack, guess what? The brake lines, the brakes won't work. Air gets in the brake lines. I got to bleed the brakes. Guess what? If I don't use it, if I don't drive it, if I don't keep it moving, guess what? It's fuel injected. The fuel injectors, they get all clogged up. Guess what? If I don't drive it, if I don't use it, if I don't get it out of the garage, get moving with it, if I don't use it, I'm going to lose it. Am I connecting with you today? So the same way you discover it, say discover it, then you accept it, and then you use it. So notice you use it to help other people. You use it to help other people. So when I came to church today, I'm like you. I didn't come to consume. I came to contribute. I didn't come to get anything from you. I came to give everything I have to you, to help you. Likewise, in the body of Christ, once we discover it, we accept it, then we got to start using it. If not, we'll lose it, and we'll get stuffy and stagnant and, you know, and decrepit, and life won't be fun, right? So we use it to help other people, passing on to God's people many kind of blessings. And then number four, y'all ready for number four? We own it. We own it. What do you mean, Pastor? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, or look at the overheads. New Testament, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4. We own it. What do you mean, Pastor? We own it. Well, God takes our messes. God takes our mess ups. God takes our misery. God never wastes pain in our life. God takes our suffering. God takes our good days, our bad days, our depression, our exaltation, our victory, our loss, our rejection, our acceptance, our wins, our losses, our hurts, our pains, our scars, our mars. God will take all of that and turn it around for your good if I'll just own it. In other words, you know, I got to stop blaming other people for the misery, wrong choices that I've made, wrong decisions, wrong people, wrong place, wrong time, wrong bus, Gus. Get on the bus, Gus. Or wrong this, wrong that. I've got to stop blaming other people. And if I want God to use me and make a difference, I've got to own it. I've got to say, God, I'm going to stop blaming those people, that city, that background, that school, that class, that coach, that marriage, that church, my ex-wife, the judge, the lawyer. I'm going to stop blaming other people for my messes. I'm going to own it, and God's going to take my messes and turn them into a message. Does that make sense? Let me show you. All praise to God, the Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah. Father of all mercy. And His mercy is new every morning. And if I'll own it, if I'll humble myself and stop blaming my ex or my kids or my parents or the way I was raised, or how I look or my personality or my neighborhood or my upbringing, if I'll just own it and say, God, I messed up. God, I own it. And the next step is, God, I turn it over to you. I own it and I turn it over to you. Now, God, take my mess ups and turn it into ministry. Take my mess ups and turn it into a message. Because his mercy will do that, and his mercy is new every morning. We've all made mistakes. We've all made wrong choices. We've all been at the wrong place at the wrong time. We've all been accused falsely. We've all been persecuted. We've all had situations that shouldn't have happened, and we don't have the answers. Why this? Why that? Why? We got to own it. Stop blaming people. Stop being a victim. And then we turn it over to God. You know, years ago, I have an advisory board that helps us with Church on the Rock. And years ago, I had an advisor on that board. He's since retired. He was on my board for like 20 years. And he had a ministry in the body of Christ. He was on, if you can remember back on PTL with Jim Baker way back then. He was on Daystar and on all the TV. He had written books. He traveled to the largest churches in America and around the world. He was on our advisory board. He came every year. We would get his books. We'd pass them out to the congregation. And his whole thing was biblical economics. Biblical economics. And his whole thing was how to help the body of Christ pay off their credit cards. Because, see, I can't get to the land of plenty until I get to the land of even. And I have to get out of the land of lack just to get to the land of even so I can move on to the land of plenty. He had an amazing ministry, an amazing message. But what a lot of people don't know about this brother is that when he was in the secular world, he was a contractor in Florida. And his business, he made wrong decisions and it went bankrupt. And so he struggled through that season and wrestled in that season of his life. And then eventually he went into full-time ministry. He was a pastor actually in Missouri. And then he went to Colorado. He was in this huge building program, a mega church even back then, made wrong choices, wrong decisions, and the church went bankrupt. Well, out of that experiences, which were bad, he owned it, didn't blame the church, didn't blame the board, didn't blame God. He owned it. Then he turned it over to God, and God took his mess ups and his messes and turned it into a message. And then God began to bless him as he began to act on biblical promises for everyday problems. And eventually he became a multimillionaire. And his ministry for the body of Christ was to help them get out of what he had one time been in. Does that make sense today, family? Okay, so look what he says. Next verse, verse 4. Jesus comes alongside us when we go through hard times. We're all going to have hard times. Either you've been in one, you are in one, or you're headed for one. And we need to know that in those hard times, Jesus said, even though your friends might leave you, your family might leave you, your church might leave you, but God says, I'll never leave you and forsake you. Even when you make wrong decisions, you do wrong things, you fall, you falter, you mess up, God says, I'm there all the time. He said, I'm alongside you and I will help you. He said, it comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else. Watch this now. Takes our misses and our mistakes, if we'll own it and then turn it over to him, he turns it into ministry. See, your story can set other people free. You know, this last week, again, we were in Vegas, and we were at this church conference, and Daniel, my son, and my daughter-in-law, Tamara, had friends that attended that church that we were in. This church that we were in, they had friends that attended that church, so one evening, we went out to eat with them. And we go out to eat with them, this couple, and I said to them, tell me your story. And so her name was Andrea. And so she began to tell us she's in her 40s, midlife. And she began to say, well, I grew up in a very, very dysfunctional home. She said, I grew up where I was verbally abused, mentally abused, made fun of, called names. She said, my parents were a part of a denomination. I won't tell you what it was, but she goes, they would force us to go to church only on Christmas and Easter. She goes, I hated church. She goes, I hated church. I hated God. I hated Christians. She grew up in Vegas. She goes, I hated all of that, the traditional family, the setting. I hated all of that. And she goes, I got into all kinds of stuff. She goes, I was miserable. She's telling me her story. She's telling me her messes as she grew up in Las Vegas, in a broken home, in a dysfunctional home. And she said, but then I found Jesus Christ. And I gave my life to him. And she said, and then I found this church. And she said, it's my community now. And she said, Pastor, now my husband and I, we are leaders over a small group. Amazing, isn't it? And she said, now look what happens. See, God sends you to other people who are going through what you've already gone through. And the hard times you went through, and God came through for you. He didn't condemn you. He didn't judge you. God didn't put you down. God didn't resist you. God didn't push you away. He was alongside of you all. He was there all the time. And by the way, if you're dealing with something dysfunctional or a habit or a hang-up, we have something for you. It's Celebrate Recovery. And it meets every Thursday night in this building, and that will help you, I promise you. Amen. So she went on to say, and she said, we're leaders over the home group. I said, what's your home group like? She said, just like I was. She goes, broken people, broken families. And she said, guess what, Pastor? I get to minister to them. How do you find out your ministry, which matters to our church community? Pastor, I don't know what it is. Well, if you're an electrician out there, you should be an electrician in here. Volunteer your skill. If you're a plumber out there, we got lots of stools that need to be fixed in here. If you're an IT person, boy, we need 8 or 9 volunteer IT people. If you're a nurse, we have a nurse's station. Did you know that out in the lobby? We need a rotation of nurses. That whatever your skill and talent and ability is out there, that's what it's to be in here. Just you add your story. You add all your mess ups and your mistakes and your hurt and your pain. God will never waste our pain if we'll own it and turn it over to him. Can you give God a big hand clap today? Amen. So she's getting to minister to people. Isn't that an amazing story? Wow. So he says, he comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who's going through hard times so that we can be there. Everyone say, be there. So we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. I remember when I was a teenager and my older brother, Rick, he had a brain tumor. They took him into the hospital. They did surgery. He came out in a coma as the praise team comes out. He came out in a coma, and I can remember that when we went in to see him in the recovery room, that they had this tent over him, oxygen mask. He was in a coma. They had the lines in his veins. But I remember this, I'll never forget, that I would go into that recovery room and I would grab my brother's hand. It was a hard time. He was my best friend. He was my role model, my older brother. And I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand why. Do you have questions you don't have answers for? Own it and turn it over to God. If things happened in your life that you can't understand, you can't describe, you can't explain, why don't you just turn it into ministry and give the devil a black eye and make a difference? So, you know, my dad was the deacon in the church, and the church was fasting and everybody was praying. It was a small church of just 200 or 300 people. But I can remember going in there and I would grab my brother's hand and I would say, Rick, he's in a coma now. I would say, Rick, if you know it's Dave and you know I'm here, squeeze my hand. he would squeeze my hand. Isn't that amazing that our spirit can be a conscious even though our soul isn't? Isn't that amazing? I look over and I see my mom and dad, and my mom and dad were there, and their tears, and their firstborn was dying. Church was praying. My dad was a deacon in the church. My mom's Sunday school teacher. They were godly people. And nobody had the answer. Why him? Why now? Why not? And I can look over there. I can still remember my mom and dad holding Rick's hand on the other side, and they called him Ricky. They'd say, Ricky, if you know this is mom and dad, squeeze her hand. He'd squeeze their hand. He never came out of that coma. And my brother was never a Christian until right before he went into surgery, our pastor went to call on him and said, Rick, don't you think that you should make that spiritual commitment? What would have happened if my pastor hadn't been in his calling at that moment? And my brother Rick, on his deathbed, he didn't know it was. He's in his early 20s. He just came back from Morocco. He was in intelligence for the Navy. And he told me the last time I talked to him, he said, Dave, I'll come out of this easy. We're going to go to a car show. I had a 69 Camaro SS. We're going to take your car. Never came out of it. Never came out of the coma. Died. He's in heaven. What would have happened if my pastor wouldn't have accepted his ministry? Folks, that was a hard time. That hurts. It still hurts today. But guess what? I got to turn it into ministry. So that those of you who are wrestling with a hard time, I just want you to know God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He'll come alongside you. And whatever you're needing, if you'll own it and turn it over to him, he'll turn it around for you.